Welcome, everyone. We are so glad to have you here today. Today is a special day because the youth are leading the service. We planned it all and are leading each element. As you will see, we made some slight changes.
And by slight changes, Elka means some big changes.
We made some slight changes, and we hope you will like it. And that's a wonderful time. Besides to being the youth-led service, there's one more special thing. It's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. And those of us who aren't mothers, let's remember to love and be praying for our own Mother's Day.
Thanks, Elka. Pray with me as we begin today's service. Lord God, fill our worship with grace today. Let every thought we think, every word we sing, and every deed we do be acceptable to you, God Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. Amen.
Today's scripture readings come from Revelation and Isaiah. Similar to last year, along with our NIV translation scripture readings, we also have a Generation Alpha paraphrase of the passages. It is not a translation, it is a paraphrase using words typically associated with our generation. We'll read each verse first in the NIV and then the paraphrase. You can read along in your bulletins. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty.
I'm the Sigma and the final boss, says the goat, the final boss who is, who was, and who is locked in, the absolute Alpha.
Revelation chapter 22, verse 13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end.
I'm the Sigma and the final boss, the W and the L, the Skibbity and the Cooked.
Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. This is what the Lord says. Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. This is the word of the Lord.
This is what the CEO says. The GRU, the RizLord, and the Server Saver. The one YN. I am the W and the L. The only one with aura. Everyone else is just an NPC.
Alpha, the beginning. Before church starts, everyone is arriving, looking tired, holding coffees, phones, or Bibles.
Why does church always feel way too early?
Because apparently, God wakes up before us.
Oh, I'm not even fully alive yet.
Same, I need like 5 more minutes on a snack.
Guys, look, in the beginning, that's actually so dramatic.
God really said, let's start with the whole universe.
Not gonna lie, that's kind of iconic.
So, God was here before everything?
Yep. Before phones, before school, before awkward conversations in the hallway.
Wow, so God even existed before I had to answer math questions? I don't know.
Exactly. He's the Alpha, the beginning, the first one.
And honestly, way more put together than us right now.
God is the Alpha.
Quick, just very quick, just to be clear, the paraphrase is not a translation, so do not read the paraphrase on your own time. It's not a translation. All right, so in planning for this service, the teens were bold enough to say out loud what us adults are often thinking. The sermon should be shorter. And how much shorter, to be exact? Maybe 10 minutes long at the maximum. Well, in order to try to honor this request, today's sermon, it won't be 10 minutes long, but it will be divided into 2 separate 10-ish minutes pieces, which I hope helps to make it more digestible and helps you to focus throughout it. Now, if you're wondering why our teens picked the theme Alpha and Omega, I have a theory. It's not a very spiritual theory, but it is a theory. So put on your conspiracy theory hats with me. I actually haven't run this by them, so they can tell me after the service if it's correct. Many of our teens are a part of the Generation Alpha, which is everyone born in 2010 and after. Generation Alpha. Suspicious, if you ask me. The rest of our teens are a part of Generation Z, or Gen Z, which is everyone born approximately 1997 to 2010. Now, the letter Z, of course, is the last letter of the English alphabet, and what just so happens to be the last letter in the Greek alphabet that the English Z corresponds to, Omega, right? So this is my theory of why our teens picked the theme Alpha and Omega. Our Generation Alpha and Gen Z students have smoothly inserted themselves into the theme of our service today, right? Smart, they thought they could get away with it, but we see you, right? We see you. We know what you're doing. Okay, so jokes aside, on a serious note, today we will look at several passages where God calls himself the Alpha and the Omega. We will start off theological and talk about what this means about who God is and what this means about the nature of reality. And then we'll move to discipleship and talk about what this reality of God means for how we live our lives today. Let's pray and then we'll get into it. Lord, we thank you for these words to us in your Bible, in scripture. Help us to understand them and help us to live them out for your glory. Amen. So let's read our verses for today once more. Revelation 1:8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And Isaiah 44:6, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty. I am the first and I am the last. Apart from me, there is no God. In these three passages, two taken from Revelation and one from Isaiah, we hear one main point in basically four different ways. So God is the Alpha and the Omega. Again, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. As if God said it in English, right? As if he said, I'm the A and the Z. Although it doesn't sound near as cool in English, right? So God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the one who is and who was and who is to come. God is the first and the last. God is the beginning and the end. I think you get the gist. So what does this all mean? What truths are these verses trying to tell us about our God? First, let's look at Alpha, then Omega, and lastly, the overall picture. So first, the Alpha, the one who was the first, the beginning. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God is uncreated. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, he is the uncreated one, the only uncreated being. Before God chose to create the universe, create the world, create us, he existed from everlasting to everlasting. He always existed. He exists in of himself, which is something that we cannot really comprehend very well. We are used to cause and effect in our world. This happens because of that. But God is a being without cause. He is the Alpha, the one who was the first, the beginning. Now, as Christians, we believe that God did not have to create anything. From everlasting to everlasting, the perfect God existed in perfect contentment. But God, in his love and in his wisdom, chose to create our universe, create our world, create us. The one God, who is called the beginning in Revelation, created us, as Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So the Alpha, God the beginning, is our beginning as humanity. God made us in his likeness, in his image, God made us to bless his world. God made us and the rest of creation to be good. So in our beginning as humanity, in our creation, God defines us. God defines us as he is our beginning. How about Omega, the one who is to come, the last, the end? God, the uncreated, who has existed from everlasting to everlasting, will continue to be God forever and ever. As God, the beginning, existed eternally before he created our universe, so God, the end, will exist eternally after he makes a new heaven and a new earth. As God, the beginning, was, so God, the end, will be. God is unchanging in his divine nature, or we call it being immovable. God is immovable. So Malachi 3:6 says, I, the Lord, do not change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. As God the beginning was, so God is today, and so God the end will be. And as humanity, God is not only our beginning, but God is also our end. Not only is our start as humans defined by him, but our finish, our eternity, is defined by him. There's one more passage in Revelation that talks about God as Alpha and Omega. So this is Revelation 21, verses 6 through 8. I'll read it. He, God, said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. So, as God lays out here, our end as humans, our eternity is defined by him, the one called the end. Those in Christ, he gives the water of life. This is their end, life eternal spent with him. And those not in Christ, not forgiven through Christ, he gives what he calls the second death. This is their end. As humanity, our beginning and our end is defined by God. Okay, so we had beginning, we had end. Let's now look at the overall picture. The overall picture. Once more, as a reminder, God's the Alpha, the Omega, the one who is and who was and who is to come, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. The overall picture we see is that everything that exists exists in relation to God. There is God, who has forever been God and whoever will forever will be God. And everything else that exists exists because of him. Everything else that exists exists in him, or God sustains it by his power. And ultimately, everything that exists exists for him, for his glory, for his worship. In the beginning, he was God. Today, he's God. And in the end, he is God. And as humans, we exist because of him. We are sustained by him, and we exist for him, for his glory. Let's read a few verses about this. So this is Romans 11, verse 36. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. So pretty clear, right? This is Colossians 1, 16 and 17, talking about Jesus Christ. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. One last example is 1 Corinthians 8, 6. Yet for us there is but one God, the Father, from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. I think you get the picture. God is God. Everything exists because of him. God is the author of all things. Everything continues to exist by his power. God is the sustainer of all things, and everything exists for him. It's all about him. In the past, it was all about God. Today, it's all about God. And in eternity, it will all be about God. That's the nature of reality. That's what it is, the nature of reality. And this reality, it's good. It's so good. It's the best possible thing. We have a God who is so holy that existing and glorifying him is the greatest possible thing any creature could ever experience. The utmost joy and love and peace and life lies in our God. Now, to be a little bit poetic about it, we can call this nature of reality the rhythm of reality. The fact that beginning to end, it's all about God, is the rhythm of reality. And with the second half of our sermon, I want us to compare the rhythm of reality to the rhythm of our lives. So we've covered the theological side of God as Alpha and Omega. Next, we will cover the discipleship side. So we'll stop there for now. Please pray with me. Lord God, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. You are so good. Help us to understand that today. Amen.
Now comes the prayers of the people. Our mighty God, thank you for always loving and being with each one of us, as well as guiding us through life with your word. We pray for the people who don't get warm food and clean water. We also pray that our mighty ruler helps cure the new deadly virus that broke out on the ship.
Heavenly Father, we pray for your church worldwide and that your message of hope, love, and forgiveness can continue to spread. We pray that you can use our church to deliver this message to the people in our communities. We also pray that your wisdom will guide the decisions of our church leaders, and that through you, our congregation will grow and rise to serve you and those around us. We come before you with our prayers for those in this congregation that feel alone, that are suffering with an illness, and that are struggling with the pressures of life. We pray that you will comfort, heal, and strengthen those in need at this very moment. We praise your name for lifting up those in need.
Heavenly Father, we continue to pray for our church. Thank you for our pastors, Mark and Nathan. Thank you so much that you have blessed us with them. We pray you bless them and their families. We pray that they may continue to serve you and bring us as a congregation closer to you. Thank you for our elders, Father, for the ones who served, serve, and will serve. We pray that you provide them with wisdom and guidance, that they may lead our church through the path you have prepared for us. We pray that even with the present challenges and the challenges to come, that we trust you fully. We pray for the deacons who walk with the people of our congregation through any difficulty, that you bless them and help them comfort the people of our church. We thank you for all the volunteers in IPC for their service and dedication to IPC. Thank you for our youth, Lord. Help them to be able to spread your word and bring comfort to the ones around them. And thank you very much for the congregation, Lord. Without them, IPC wouldn't be what it is today. Thank you for every member that is part of this church, and thank you that we, IPC, are able to guide them and bring them closer to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Lord, when you feel far away, help us remember that you are near. Even when we do not know your plan for our life, we pray you renew our faith and trust that we trust you, because you have a wonderful plan for all of us. Help us remember your love and compassion you have showed us in the past, so that we trust you in our present as well as our future. Lord, your word is the lamp to our feet. Guide us to do the right things in unexpected or hard situations. Bless us with the willingness to follow you wherever you lead us, and may we always seek you fully and sincerely with our heart. Lord Jesus, thank you for taking the weight of our sin on your shoulders and helping up to your heart. Help us to trust you, your sacrifice fully. And now, let us take a moment to personally offer God our prayers in silence. And now, As Jesus taught his disciples, let us pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
the end. Later in the church, everyone is sitting down after worship, a little more awake and less chaotic.
Okay, I survived the morning, barely.
Same. I feel like I fought a war, and the war was just getting dressed.
And now I'm trying to act spiritual after being extremely unspiritual all week.
That's okay. God still shows up in the middle of all of that.
And he's not only the beginning, he's also the end.
The Omega, the one who finishes the story.
So even when life is a mess, God already knows how it ends?
That's actually super comforting, and also a little intimidating.
Yeah, because I can barely plan my lunch, and God's planning eternity.
Exactly. God takes our chaos and still makes us something good.
He started it, he keeps it going, and he finishes it.
God is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen.
That was our final secret skit, so no more surprises. All right, where were we? Well, as our skit team just said, God is the Alpha and the Omega. Everything exists because of him. God is the author of all things. Everything continues to exist by his power. God is the sustainer of all things, and everything exists for him. God is the reason to exist. It's all about him. In the past, it was all about him. Today, it's all about him. And in eternity, it will all be about God. We can call this the rhythm of reality. The fact that beginning to end, it's all about God, is the rhythm of reality. And in this second half, I want us to compare the rhythm of reality to the rhythm of our lives. We all have a rhythm to our lives. We have a daily rhythm, how we go about each day, what we live for each day. We have weekly rhythms, things we do and value each week, monthly rhythms, yearly rhythms. Beyond that, we have 5-year plans, 10-year plans, lifetime plans. We have hopes and dreams and goals of what our lives will look like, what the rhythm of our whole lives is going to be. So the question I want us to reflect on today is this. Do the rhythms of our lives reflect the rhythm of reality? From beginning to end, are our days, our weeks and months and years, our lives, all about God? I'm going to give you 10 seconds to think about it, okay? 10 seconds, go. Think about it. Okay. Definitely not enough time to think about it. But if we're honest with ourselves, we don't need that long to think about it, right? To know that the answer is probably, well, it's complicated. It depends. On our worst days and months and years, our answer is probably no. On our very best days, months and years, it might be yes. And on most days, most of the time, right, if we're honest, it's kind of mixed. It's kind of a yes at some points and a no at other points. As Christians, we are sinners being sanctified by God. As people who live with the Holy Spirit in us, helping us, at times we succeed. And as sinful people, at times we also fail. We don't always live for God, and we don't always even want to live for God. Not only are we sinful people who make sinful choices, even in the best of times, but life is hard. It's challenging, and it stretches us to our very limits. To help us think about this, I'm going to tell you two different stories about a morning. Okay, so story one. I wake up at sunrise, and my son, he's still asleep, so I have a couple minutes to myself. I look out the window of my kitchen. It's a beautiful, clear day. I make a coffee, sit down with my Bible, spend time in prayer and reading the scriptures. I devote my day to God and I worship him. I hear my son stirring and I go into his room. He's happy to see me, all smiley, right? We go to the kitchen together, we make some muesli. He eats it all. Then I read him a story from a children's Bible, I pray, and then I have to head out to the office. As I walk out the door, I say a prayer. Thank you, God, you are so good. All right, story two. I wake up well before sunrise to my son yelling, "Mama, mama, mama." I quickly roll out of bed and bleary-eyed, I drag myself to his room. My son is crying and I pick him up to try to soothe him. It's pitch dark in there, but he starts feeling around with his hands on my face. And upon feeling my beard, he realizes that I am in fact not mama, but dada. He doesn't like that. So he starts yelling all the more, even louder. I finally calm him down, take him to the kitchen. I try to quickly make him some muesli while he's running around, banging on things at 5 a.m., turning on the hand vacuum cleaner. He's having a great time, unlike me. I try to feed him, but he just ends up knocking the bowl right off the table onto the floor. I haphazardly wipe it up while trying to prevent him from smearing it everywhere. I look at the clock and realize I've got to go. As I walk out the door, I say a prayer, "God, why? Please help me." Okay, so one of these stories is my ideal morning, and one of them is more the reality of my mornings. Can you guess which is which? Pretty obvious, right? Story one, ideal. Story two is reality. And one could extrapolate this for the whole day, right? We can all imagine ideal days where things are easy and where our lives, our hearts, our minds, our strength is solely and completely devoted to God. If our days were like story one, if our lives were like our ideal imaginings, matching the rhythm of our days and lives to the rhythm of reality would be pretty easy, or at least much easier. Well, if you've been around, if you've been alive for any amount of time on earth, you would know that this is not usually the case. Every once in a while, we have periods like this, days or weeks or months, periods where living out our days for God feels kind of effortless and easy. But for the most part, our days are not like this. For the most part, our days are like story two. Things don't go the way we want them to. Things don't go the way we planned. Things don't go the way we would like. Life is bound to throw us curveballs. It's not if, but when. In life, there's unexpected medical diagnoses that flip our lives upside down. There's relationship breaks and heartbreak. There's family tensions, accidents. Despite our best efforts, there's huge failures. There's layoffs at work, there's fights, addictions, distractions, exhaustion, mental illness, moral failures, the list goes on. This is reality. And to say the least, we often react to these unplanned things poorly. We react with anger at God, or doubt, or we blame him. We react with judgment and hate. We treat others as less than ourselves. We react with self-pity towards ourselves or exasperation. We react very often in sin. Living our lives in our days, in our mornings, our afternoons, our evenings for God, living for him totally and completely, in reality is not so easy. It doesn't come so easy to us. So to end today, I just want to share two things, two very simple things we can do each day, no matter the ups and downs of life, no matter how good or bad things are, to help us live our days for God. Two things that can help the rhythm of our lives reflect the rhythm of reality. Thing one, we ask. Very simple. We ask. We ask God to help us live for him. It's that simple. It all begins with God. If God's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, if he's the one who created us, who sustains us, who defines our eternity, if he's the one with all the power, If he's the one who loves us so much that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, if he's the one who calls us his beloved children, it would be ludicrous, it would be crazy to not ask him to help us. Do you do this? Honestly, think about it. Do you ask God to help you live for him each day? It's something we can and should do, no matter what the day is like, good or bad. It's so simple, and yet something we often forget, right? We often try to rely on ourselves. Don't do that, right? Don't rely on your own strength. You can't do it. 1 John chapter 5 says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of him." So this isn't like asking God for a Ferrari and expecting to receive it. This is asking God for something that is definitely and clearly according to his will, to help us to live for him. He hears us, and he will help us. Okay, thing two, also very simple. First, we ask, then we do. We ask, then we do. Christians, over the past 2,000 years, have developed what we call spiritual disciplines. Things we can do that can draw us closer to God and help us to live our lives for him. Some of the basic spiritual disciplines, right, are things like reading scripture or prayer or worship through singing. But Christians over the centuries have developed hundreds of different disciplines that can help us live our days for God. Things like different types of fasts, silence, stewardship of the earth, practicing service, gratitude, journaling, celebration, small groups, confession, unplugging, hundreds of varieties of prayers. Many of these disciplines we can do every single day, no matter what the day throws at us. So I'll give one very specific example. One spiritual discipline God has used in my life is called the examine, or the Ignatian examine. This is a prayer practice from church history developed by Ignatius of Loyola, the founder of the Jesuits. And this is a prayer of examination you can do at the end of your day. This is what it looks like. First, right, you get on your knees and you ask God for understanding and for clarity. Then you look back and you review your day. You go through what you did, how you felt, what happened to you, how you reacted, what were your thoughts? And you ask yourself, and you ask God, was I, in what I did, what I thought, what I said, drawing closer to God or being pushed away from God? Did I live for God? Did I collaborate with his plans? Or did I live for myself? After you review your day, you think to tomorrow. You look at the plans you have and ask God to help you live for him. Go through each plan, right? Through each thing. Ask God to help you collaborate with his plans in his work in every aspect of the coming day. Now, of course, right, this spiritual discipline, the examine, doesn't change you, but it's a spiritual discipline that God can work through that can help us reflect and look forward and live for God. Now, I would encourage you all, talk to Christian friends, to your sisters and your brothers, read a book about it, look online, because there's thousands of years of wisdom and thousands of spiritual disciplines that our Christian sisters and brothers have to offer us. Hundreds of practices we can do to help the rhythm of our days, the rhythm of our lives, reflect the rhythm of reality. God is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one who is and who was and who is to come. He's the first and the last, the beginning, and is the end. Everything exists because of him. Everything continues to exist by his power, and everything exists for him. It's all about him. In the past, it was about him. Today, it's about him. And in eternity, it will all be about God. Right? That's the nature of reality, the rhythm of reality. Does the rhythm of your life reflect the rhythm of reality? Ask yourself that. Take longer than 10 seconds, right, when you get home. Are your individual days all about God? Are your weeks centered around him? Your year, your five-year plan, your 10-year plan, your life goals and your life dreams? Well, no matter where we are at in this, and no matter what's happening in our lives, we can grow. God can work in our lives to make them more about him. We can always ask God for help to live for him, and we can always do or practice spiritual disciplines. We ask him, and then we do. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your words to us in Revelation and in Isaiah. We thank you that you are the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Help us to live for you each and every day, each and every month, each and every year. Let our plans, our hopes, our dreams be all about you. Amen.
Thank you.
God is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.